That's a small portion of what we've seen God do in 21 years. In the beginning, you see pictures of really young kids. They're married and have kids of their own now, which is one of the really neat things about a church plant. Yeah, really. I got to pick up my granddaughter. I mean, how old were you? She was 5 years old. And then we came to New Zealand. Yeah. And there she found, I'm really happy about that, actually. So I pick on Charlie, but I really like him. God has blessed us in so many ways. And guys, as you've supported us faithfully for the last dozen years or so, this has been a blessing to us. And I'd like to share God's word with you. If you'd open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, you've looked at the harvest that God has given us in just one small part of the world. But God's harvest is still yet unreaped for the most part. Let's start in verse 35 of Matthew chapter 9. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease. Well, that means I have to stay right here. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad. Now, I'll hang on to that, I think, or lay it across here. I promise not to hit anybody with it. As sheep having no shepherd. And then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the privilege you give us to meet in your name, in your house, and worship. Father, we ask that as we look into your word this morning, that you would touch our hearts, that you'd encourage us with the need that we see all around us, that each of us might be willing to reach out and be a laborer in your field. And we'll thank thee in Christ's name. Amen. Now, sometimes, as missionaries, in our case, we came as missionaries. I became a missionary in 1978. Initially, we were in the Samoan Islands. And for one reason or another, it's a long story short, I didn't get to stay. And I spent quite a number of years raising money to go. We arrived. And then things didn't go as I'd planned. The key here is I planned. Sometimes we decide what we're going to do for God. And we seek out to fulfill our desires for him. It's all good that we want to serve him. But sometimes we're not really listening good. Okay? Because that last says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Whose harvest? It's God's harvest. Not ours. It's his. Who will send the laborers? Not me. Him. Now, he'll use us as enablers. Sometimes you get someplace and you see so much that needs to be done, you want to be 10 different people. You do. And so you pick up this stick from the fire, and you pick up that stick from the fire, and you pick up another one, and pick up another one, and your hands are all full, and you're running around like a headless chook, not really knowing which one to do first. And you get tired. You do. You know? We did. And then I didn't get to stay. What happens next? Did God make a mistake? Or did I make a mistake? It's kind of personal testimony time. The doors were closing. American Samoa is one of the few places that you hold an American passport and have to have a work permit. Some of you come to New Zealand and you know you have to have a job and a permit and a residence permit. And, well, I had a work permit to start with, and then the individual who was my sponsor and I had some disagreements about how we were meant to do the work, and he quit sponsoring me, and so I had to leave, and where am I going to go next? I really felt on deputation. God was sending us to the Samoan Islands. I was going to spend my rest of my life there. You know, it hasn't happened. I wrote letters. And in the end, the door opened here. And Pastor Lorne McAllister invited me in. 6 weeks after I wrote him the letter, I had papers and permanent residence here. Those of you who have applied recently for permanent residence in New Zealand know that sometimes it doesn't work quite like that. And that God, he worked. And I spent nearly 20 years here. And took a holiday for our 30th anniversary. We went up for a tropical holiday. I would encourage you, go ahead and take a holiday someplace new. And maybe God will do for you what he did for us. Yeah. I came back after that. Around Easter, we had to preach. I didn't preach. I had to find a place to go to church. And so we talked to the people at the hotel and said, "Where's the nearest Baptist church?" "A what?" "What kind of church is that?" Because there weren't any. So we talked to them about, well, you know, this is what we do, and this is who we are. And, oh, well, I think, oh, there's a fellow in the bush who has services, and he runs his services this way. He talked about the singing, and he preached and gave an invitation, and it sounded very much like what we said. Okay. Because remember, we're doing this in somebody else's language. They don't have mine, and I don't have theirs yet. So there were some communication issues. Okay. We get there, and there are about 200 people under a tin roof. They drove us for about 45 minutes through the coconut plantation. And here he is. And I thought, oh, yeah. We got there, and there were a platform much like this with lots of instruments. I thought, okay, I can understand this. And he got up and preached. He used a lot of English for, I guess, there were three white guys. Now, I'm pleased, in this woke society, I'm going to be just as plain as can be. Everybody's Nifanawatu, except two old guys and three other Europeans who were at the hotel with us. And, oh, we'll go to church. He preaches his message in Bislama, which is our local pidgin English, about turning from idols, turning from the paganism to Christ. I thought, yeah, this is a good thing. I'm getting excited. Everybody's around me is excited. And Mrs. Spohr punches me in the ribs and tells me, oh, no, I hear people speaking in tongues. Well, in Vanuatu, there are 101 different local languages. Hush up. Of course there are people who speak different languages. That's not what I mean. Service came on, and he gave his invitation, and 20 people walked to the front. And all stood in front of him, and he came down off the platform. No, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, he invited him to come to Christ, turn from the darkness and turn to the light. And then he got around and he began to tap them on the shoulder or on the top of the head, and they began to collapse. And I thought, ah, Spohr, what have you gotten yourself into? Because we're the only visitors, Pastor, our people are very hospitable. Come home, I want to feed you. Have lunch at my house. I don't care what kind of preacher they are. When something happens in the service, you've got people at the altar, you're excited. And he was. Man, talking about 20 people have received Christ today. And I thought, now, those of you who have known me a while understand I'm not very polite sometimes. Pastor, I didn't see that. When did that happen? I didn't see anyone taking the Bible and talking to these people. And said, oh, no, Pastor, God gave me a gift. And I'm just like Peter. I touched them and I said, receive you the Holy Ghost, and God saves them. And for this Baptist pastor, I still have stitches in my tongue from chewing on it. Oh, I don't know. And long story short, we went away from that holiday heartbroken. Those people came. They really did, I believe, want to find Christ. They left without him. Left with something else. We're back to New Zealand, back here. We're working in Rotorua, visited, and many times the same people, again and again. And God began to work on our hearts and touched us. No, time to move. Well, I've got a house, got two cars. Got to do it. You begin to make excuses about why you can't really do what God's asked you to do. Well, God, if you'll do this, well, I'll do that. I said it, he believed me. And for the last 21 years, we've been doing what God's asked us to do. That's the short version. We really answered the call that Jesus himself says. Look, pray ye the Lord of the harvest. We said, God, you know, someone really needs to go. And I prayed about her dad, who was in Bible college at Rotorua. And about a young fella who was there with him, Martin McCann. You know, they really need, you know, God needs young people. And yeah, that young fella was 52 years old when he got to Vanuatu. God's been good. You don't have to be 10 different kinds of people. You just have to be one. One who really wants to do what God wants you to do. Because you see, he's called each of us. The harvest, it's out there. And it is plenteous. At the present time, there are Brother Herzl, which you've seen him, Tara's dad, myself, working in the one church, Villa. We're the only one. There are two men in Luganville, which is in Santo, the big island to the north of us. And two local pastors. One, two, three, four. And a fifth one we just sent out to Malekula, which is another one of our islands. So that's one island, two islands, three islands. There are 73 different islands in Vanuatu alone. The harvest is plenteous. There's lots of work for anyone who wants. And he says, look unto the harvest. Said it was disciples, that's you and me. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. We look at them. You have to see them as more than just a nation. More than just an ethnic group. You have to see them as individuals lost and dying on the road to an eternity someplace. And often the actions that you and I take as believers in Jesus Christ will determine where those individual souls spend eternity. It is a personal responsibility. At the end of, we all work corporately. We run Faith Promise in our church. We took on a new missionary in June because we run our missions conference with our anniversary. Starting a new church plant in Espiritu Santo. We work corporately, but the responsibility is as individuals. As individuals, you give to Faith Promise missions. The church as a corporate body in Christ transfers that money on, and you support them. You support them corporately with your prayers. But as individuals, open our eyes. God bless the missionaries. I'm glad. God, Brother Spohr's walking around on one leg. This individual, your missionaries in South Africa, they've had COVID. They're sick. Talk to them about individuals. They live in a society, it's rough right now. As I read the news, they're facing a lot of hard time. Our country's been blessed. We have no COVID. None. But it also means we have very few groceries on our ship because the airplanes haven't flown in and out of our country. They fly twice a month. That means I haven't had mail since March of 2020. Planes just don't come. Post office is closed. Look under the fields. Ezekiel, he talks about a dry bones in Ezekiel 37. People without hope, dead in their sins, lost. God says, Ezekiel, look at that pile of bones. Prophesy unto the bones. Talk to them. You talk to someone dead, and he said, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We'd just as well be dry bones. Someone talk to you. Someone talk to me as a sailor off the coast of Vietnam. I was a pile of dry bones. I had no intention of following Christ. I had no intention in spiritual things at all. But someone spoke to me. Someone prayed for me. Because that harvest is, pray the Lord of the harvest. Someone was praying. Lots of someones. That's individuals. The people in Lanikela Baptist Church will never, in Waipahu, where my ship was home ported, will never know this debt of gratitude that I owe them because of the amount of prayer they put into this guy who was deployed. Three tours. That's a long time in a foreign country. At that time, an angry foreign country. And they prayed for my safety and those for my shipmates. But they prayed for my soul. That my heart would be soft. That I would confess my sin and trust Christ as Savior. And you know, God answered that prayer. I did, He did. God calls workers. He calls us as individuals. And He wants you to, you know, we imagine the amount of, how many excuses do you make when God speaks to your heart? We talk a lot about the will of God from the pulpit. God's will, and often we'll say, well, God willing, I'll do. God willing, I'll speak to that individual. And I used that excuse with my pastor. His name was Knutson. And as I was full of vinegar and enthusiasm, because when God saves you, you're excited. And then somehow that kind of fades away in some folk. We get all excited about serving God, and yep. And when I was out, I think my car knew its way to the church parking lot. We were there 5-6 times a week doing something. We were out on a Thursday night visiting. Preacher prayed with us, told us to go out and win souls, preach the gospel, wish us well. Lead someone to Christ today. That was his prayer. And as a young Christian, well, God willing, I'll do that. And he just looked up. Man, I still see his face. He says, yep, Steve, God's willing. Or you. And you think about that. Are you really willing to put yourself out there? Because when you witness, it's a risky business emotionally when you begin to talk to someone about Jesus Christ. Because you have to be transparent. As you witness, they have to see you. They have to see Christ in you. It's a risky business. But you know, it's where the fruit is. You look at your fruit trees. I had one growing in a lemon tree in West Auckland, and the best lemons in that thing were right up at the top. I climb a lot. I also fall a lot. And why do you need a hip replacement? Well, I need a hip replacement because I've lived a really active life and I take risks. Physically and spiritually. So, get the fruit, I climbed to the top of the tree, right out there, leaned out. I didn't fall that time. But the fruit's out on the end of the limb. God's fruit's out there too. It takes a risk. Go into a strange community or talk to a stranger on the street. I don't know them, and I don't care what the excuse is. But I know there is one for many. And for others, they've never met a stranger, and it's easy. All our personalities are different, but it's still a risk. Will you take that risk for Jesus Christ and become part of His service? You know, we become under what Paul talks about being under rowers, people who under service. We're servants. We work. Not everybody is on top. In every Roman galley, there were two sets of oars. One, two decks. Now, in the Navy, my job was on the right up on the signal bridge. Right out there, exposed to everyone and everything. And the only thing between me and small arms fire was 6 millimeters of aluminum. I want you to know, 6 millimeters of aluminum doesn't stop anything. You can shove a pencil through it. But the guys in the engine room, they had more plates. Up, down. Rowers on the galley. Some were soldiers and they were on the upper deck. Others were slaves and they were underneath. Paul talks about himself being a bondservant, a slave for Jesus Christ. Not someone who's there for acclaim or... I'm really not slow, but this is the first English message I have preached in 3 years. And you think, well, why? It's your native tongue. Yeah, it is, sort of. So I'm actually I'm preaching in one language. In my head, I'm preaching in another one. And coming back out, and hopefully it's coming out and makes sense. But you row, you're a bond slave. Which kind of runs counter to everything that the world wants to tell us. Put yourself first. Look after number one. Make decisions based on what's best for you. Why? Well, you know, as I surrendered to preach, I had 5 years and a bit. Which means I was 25 in the service. I was more than a quarter of the way through to my retirement. I was being promoted. I had a good job. I went to work every other day. Now, the kind of work I did, no one will ever know about. Because you can't, you know, anyway. But I didn't, it wasn't hard work. They were going to send me off to flight school. Learn how to fly jets. Yeah. I had it all planned. Well, I'll do my 20 years. I'll come out as a pilot, and I'll go to work for an airline, and, well, I had it all. And then God said, why don't you be a preacher? Become one of my bondservants. I didn't realize that from the moment I got up off my knees praying, saying, God be merciful unto me, a sinner, I became His servant. He bought me. He paid for me out of the slave market of sin. He redeemed me. I was his. And now all he's asking is to do what it's his right to do with his property. And if you know him as your Savior, you belong to him. Which means you lose all rights to the decision-making process in your life. It's just that simple. You don't get to say, I want to. You get to say, God, what would you have me do? God saved a really bad man when he saved Paul. He really did. Paul was a murderer. His job was to find Christians, throw them into prison, get them to recant, or kill them. He meets Christ on the road to Damascus, and the first words out of his mouth, Lord, what would you have me do? Have you ever asked God that question and been ready for the answer? I mean, I used to ask God that question a lot. God, what do you want me to do? And what I really meant was, God, I want to do this. Will you let me? And there's a really big difference. One is trying to fulfill your own desire of wanting to work for God. And I did want to work for him on my terms. You don't get to do it that way. That's not the way God works. It's with a humble spirit and a quiet heart that says, God, what would you have me do? And when I was willing to do that, and he began to speak, and I listened and obeyed. It's not most of us don't hear. It's not that people don't hear God speaking and don't understand what he wants. It's not, God, I don't understand what God wants me to do. No. What God's asked you to do and what you want to do are different, and so there's conflict. I can't fix the conflict for you. Only you can. Look around you. The harvest is finished. He says in Jeremiah 8 and verse 20, he says, the harvest, time for harvest is finishing. And the last words in that verse, it says, and we are not saved. That's harsh, isn't it? To know there are folk out there, maybe some of your family, certainly your friends. And we look at society as it's going downhill. And we ought to be looking up, but before we look up, you also look out and see what's going on around you. For the unsaved, maybe that's some of you in here. Time's short. It just is. One of our biggest jobs in Vanuatu. People die every day. Every day. Not from COVID. They just die. And death in Vanuatu is kind of it's different. Someone in our church community or church family or their family will pass away every week. I could hold funerals every day. And for us, it's just one, in our language, one man is dead. So we fella come together but cry. We're going to go and we hold a wake. And within 24 hours, because we put the deceased, goes, we go to their home, the deceased lays on a mat in the home. We come together, we kneel down at the corpse, and family, if it's the husband, the wife is sitting in a chair next to the head of the corpse, and I know this is kind of gross, but this is the way it is. And we cry. And they cry. Wail, and it's a sound that cuts right to your bones. It brings the scriptures that weep as them who have no hope. The preacher is there. We come. We pray with the lost. And the next morning we'll get up and we'll bury them. It all happens. Sometimes within a space of less than 24 hours. 5 days later we come together and do the whole thing over again. Time short. I've stood and looked into the face of the deceased that told me, tomorrow, preacher, I'll come see you. I want to talk to you about myself, you know. And what can you do? You say, yeah, I'm ready, tell me. But you really need to do it today, Willie. Well, the following evening, I'm sitting in his yard outside of his house with his wife and the rest of the family, crying because he passed away that morning. See him one afternoon on his machine, because he was a man working, scratching roads, cleaning as a grader, working in 2001, just after we got there. We had an earthquake, and he was repairing the roads. I went out to see him. He said, oh, Pastor, yeah, I'll come around tomorrow morning. And by tomorrow morning, he was dead. And that evening, I was at his house. And the morning after that, I was holding my first funeral in Vanuatu. Time's short. Everyone in here thinks you're going to live forever, don't you? You haven't thought about passing away. Oh, Pastor, I've got life insurance, and now I'm taking care of my family. All those are good things. But have you gotten ready for what's going to happen next? Because there is a next. There really is. Are you ready? This is a time where there's death all around you. But it's kind of isolated. You hear about, oh, so many people are in hospital and they've done this and we're going to win this disease. And really? And people run around, mask or not mask, shot or no shot. And there's a lot of discussion, a lot of dissension. And I think, really, people are afraid to die. Christian, why are you afraid to die? You fear it because you're going to look the face of your master. Yeah, I'm not in a hurry to go, but I can have to. And I, in spite of my lifestyle, I'm not trying to die. Well, my wife might have a different opinion of that. You know, truth is, someday for the lost, it's going to be just too late. It was too late for Willie, and I can still see his face He was a good dad by the world's measure, a good family man. And I truly, if he'd have trusted Christ then, what happened the next in his family would have been so much different. But instead, his family just fell to pieces. True stories. You don't know what's going to happen next. And because you don't, shouldn't you get ready? Because the Scripture tells us what happens. It talks about your condition, your faith, scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Surely that is the most helpless animal on the face of the planet. Well, what are you going to do about it? Really? Those of us who are saved, and this is Mission Month, what are we doing about it? Well, Pastor, I give to missions. That's great. You've sent your money. Now, is God talking to you? What about this laborer part? He says, pray ye therefore that the Lord will send forth laborers into his harvest. His laborers, his harvest. We're his laborers, whether we confess it or not. We're either good workmen or poor ones. He wants to fill us, use us, and enable us in everything. My prayer this morning is that some of you will stand up instead of putting money in the bag. You'll draw a ring on the floor. Just mark it around. God, I'm going to give everything in that circle to you. And step into that circle. Huh? Risky. Well, preacher, you'd been a missionary a long time when you went to Vanuatu. Uh-huh. I had been. But I went someplace. When I came here, I knew Lauren McAllister. I knew people. I had an idea of what to expect. When I went to Samoa, I served in the military with some of the men I went to see. I'd been in church with them in Hawaii. No worries. I can adjust. When we got off the plane in Vanuatu, no one was there to meet us. I had a name that someone in Australia had. When you get there, you should go see Amton Serrell. You met him. He and his family, it was the first family. But I didn't know him. Where does he work? Well, he works at the trading college. And this is, you know, I know I preached a long time, talked a long time. It's a failing. Services in Samoa start when everybody gets there, in Vanuatu start when everybody gets there and goes home when the preacher's finished. So, I apologize for being long-winded. But I'm going to tell one more story anyway. We went. He was, where does he work? Well, he works at the teacher's training college. And we got on a bus and said, I want to go there. And they took me, and long rows of buildings everywhere. And well, I don't know. I'm out of the bus now. And I walk up to a door, knock on it, and this lady in a paru comes. Now, a paru is just a long piece of fabric they wrap around their body. And I discovered I want to see Amton. Where is he? He said, this was the girl's dorm, the Francophone dorm. At that point, I didn't speak French. But I knew enough, I didn't know where to put my eyes. So I looked at the ground. And then I hear a voice from behind me. What do you want? Well, I'm looking for Amton Serrell. That's me. And we met. So I want you to see my wife. She's from Papua New Guinea, and she was saved in the church there. I want you to follow me. It's just a little ways. And then I learned my first lesson about Vanuatu. When an Evan says, it's just a little ways, they walk everywhere. And 35 minutes later, we're at his house. Risk. Put yourself out there. Talk to someone you haven't talked to. Draw the ring on the floor if it helps you. And say, God, everything in there is yours. Everything. Time, talent, money. Some of us are willing to give our money. Some of us are willing to give our time. All of us? All of it? All the time? Well, preacher, I have a life to live. Yeah, you do. Live it for him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness to us, the time you've given us together. Thank you for your word and the challenges it brings. I thank you for each of these people. You know their hearts in a way that I can never know it. I thank you for their willingness to support missionaries around the world. But Father, you also know that in our midst, there are those that need to make decisions for you. Father, I ask that you just talk to them in a special way, that your Holy Spirit would make himself known, and that they would be willing to follow you, to give their all to you. It's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Pastor Mike, will you come?
Church, for the next few minutes, would you just stand with me, please, with heads bowed, eyes closed? The greatest need that you could ever have is salvation. Salvation only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps this morning through the message, you've understood that you're unsure of your eternal destination. Will you be with the Lord? And your greatest need would be salvation. Then I want you to come and see me. Pastor Steve or Josh or one of our men and women here at the church will help you deal with that. Perhaps the Lord is speaking to your heart about the message, about going. There's needs in Vanuatu, but indeed all over the world. And perhaps the Lord is putting upon your heart the desire, the burden, the calling to make yourself available, to go to someplace else and share the gospel. We as a church, we help, we prepare, we send. That's what we do as brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we do as a body. So if that's you this morning, then indeed I would like for you to come and speak with me so we can have some prayer time together. And then, of course, at the end of the month, we're going to be taking up our faith, missions, promise, pledges. And that's where we'll be making pledges of financial support to our missionaries. So with those things in mind, church, I'm going to ask that you join me in prayer as we pray for souls to be saved, people to be sent, and missionaries that we can join with to see others saved. Let's pray. Father, our hearts are pointed towards the word that indeed the harvest truly is plentiful. The laborers are few. Lord, we know that you're calling upon us as a church, upon individuals from the church and others around us. You're calling to send and to go. Lord, I pray that as you deal with hearts this morning, that they might be receptive, that they too may have the desire and the burden. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who has never understood your great love for them and that salvation that is offered to them, then Lord, may this be the day of salvation as well. So Lord, we leave these things upon your care and your hands. Deal with our hearts. Deal with our callings, our bodies, our minds, our spirits. Use us, Lord, to fulfill your great accomplishment and your great will. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Steve, for the message this morning. It's our joy and pleasure to support Steve and Lynn Spohr. They're going to be around here with us for a while. And when I say a while, we don't know exactly how long. However, some of the medical procedures and things that will be done to help him with his hips over these next few months. So they're going to be staying in the missions apartment. That means that as you talk to them this morning, you can find out some things that they might need some help with, perhaps groceries or petrol or other things, just practical things that you can bring and be a part of it. Then let them know that you're willing to help and assist in any way. And that would be a great blessing as well. Before we're dismissed, we have just a few announcements to share with you. So let me share these things inside the bulletin you have on the inside pages. Starting at the top, it talks about our missions month. We have next week, our guest speaker is Pastor Irwin Santoso at IBC Central. That's where Pastor Ken is at today. So they're just switching places for the next week. And then the fifth Sunday, Pastor Ken will be bringing our Faith Promise Pledge Day, and that's the day we're going to ask that each of you to prayerfully consider what you will be able to give to missions so that we can then support more missionaries throughout this next year. We have coming up at the end of the year in December a married couples retreat. Last year we had to postpone everything because, you know, the COVID situation, everything was just up in the air, so we had to postpone this from last year. But this year we have the dates secured, the 2nd through the 4th of December. It's down in Papamoa at the Pacific Park Christian Camp. So that's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And the reason we're letting you know so early is so that if you need to prepare that time to take time away from work or make arrangements, then you can do that now. We have a sign-up sheet in the back. So for the next few weeks, we'd like for you to sign up so we can get an idea of how many people may be able to go. We currently have 12 rooms that are reserved for us. We can get more rooms if needed. So if you would like to sign up, that'll give us a good idea about the married couples retreat. Continue to pray for our missionaries. We mentioned them earlier in the worship service time, Wayne and Kirsty Smith, missionaries in South Africa that we've supported since 2013. And then, of course, pray for South Africa and all that's going on in that part of the world. Our other missionaries that we support, we've posted the newest letters in the back in the kitchen area, and you can read about them. And then also the prison, ladies' prison ministry. Today is the day that Gina and Mano and Archie and some others they'll be going into the ladies' prison where they'll be holding worship services. So pray for them and pray for their safety and all that's to be done there as well. Before we're dismissed, maybe you're celebrating a birthday or a wedding anniversary. We'd like to recognize that with you and celebrate with you. Anyone with a birthday today or through this coming week? Anyone celebrating a birthday this week? Anyone? Come on up here, Will. How many times a year do you celebrate a birthday, Will? Just once. One time. And is it today? Saturday, coming up in Saturday. Anyone else? Oh, over here, happy birthday to you as well. God bless you. Anyone else with a birthday this coming week? How about wedding anniversaries? Do we have anyone with wedding anniversaries? Come on up here, Marlon and Samantha. Congratulations to you. How many years, Marlon? 19 years. Wow, congratulations, especially to you, Samantha, for hanging in there with Marlon for 19 years. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday, and then we're going to sing Happy Anniversary with Marlon and Samantha. Let's all sing together Happy Birthday. Happy. in a time of prayer. Stay around, greet one another, speak to Steve and Lynn, and find out what you can do to help them out as well through these next couple weeks or months as they're here. Stay around, greet one another, and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Pastor Ken will be back here next week along with our guest speaker, Pastor Irwin. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that you've allowed us to be together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for the message that was preached to us this morning. May it stick within our hearts and within our minds. May the calling that you put upon our lives never leave us. May the desire to see others come to know Christ never disappear. We thank you for your love and your care. Sustain us through this week, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.